Blog Talk Radio.
Columbus Day. Since today's Columbus Day, I said, what the heck, let's broadcast later on in the AM or early afternoon. So here we are, early afternoon. Thank you so much for tuning in. It is Columbus Day. You know, celebrating Columbus Day. And also, you know, I coming from a retail background and love to shop also. Where are the best Columbus Day sales, everyone. I know some of you are taking advantage of Columbus Day sales, online and offline, while you are off today also. And but, of course, it's more Motivating Monday. And you see Columbus Day, you see Motivating Monday, and you see Horrified. The word Horrified is not supposed to be on the description of the show. It's supposed to be a hot topic. I guess we're just caught up in this Halloween way of thinking. So many people have been, we've been celebrating Halloween here in the Jackson metropolitan area for a couple of weeks. Pretty much the theme of the fair was like Halloween. The kids could come in and get in free with their Halloween costumes and give out candy and all that. Saturday, as we celebrated the grand opening of Breeze Bark Park and at Wolf Stock, puppies, you know, some would have on their Halloween attire. So it's been a Halloween way of life for the past couple of weeks, with Halloween only like a couple of weeks away. Also a couple of weeks away here in Mississippi, we're going to have the Mississippi International Film Festival also. I'm a longtime supporter of it, but this year will be my first time ever going to the events. And Mississippi Film Commission office will be recognized and many others. And all of the events are pretty much free, and the brunch is $15, which will conclude the whole weekend on that Sunday morning at the King Edward Hotel, Hilton Garden Hotel. So that's pretty cool. We get a chance to go to the workshops and special events, and even the costume masquerade ball for free, and go to and see different films, indie films, and it's just amazing. I'll go over the itinerary with you all if not during this broadcast, definitely the next broadcast. My apologies for not broadcasting on Friday and Saturday. I had a fantastic time the second year of volunteering at the Mississippi Republican Party and Mississippi GOP booth. At the fair this year, had good conversations with people. One time did some people get kind of like, you know, like kind of funny regarding talking politics. But I had a fun time talking politics with people. It's always good to talk about what's going on in politics and life in general. And it just was fun doing. I volunteer at special events for Carol No Animal Shelter, and we had a big special event on Saturday, the ribbon cutting and grand opening of Breeze Bark Park, Breeze Dog Park, our first unleashed dog park. Just like the big cities, Jackson's moving on up. We have a dog park where you can bring your dogs if they're spayed and neutered or have been had a vaccinations updated, can become members and monthly or annually. And it's a really nice park, and it's come from a woman's vision. She was a newcomer to Jackson about 4 years ago, and she looked for a dog park. She had moved from Houston, and she had been looking for a dog park and could not find any, and she so happened bumped into one of Carol's workers, Laura Lillard. Many of you know her. She works with the cat in the cattery, and she's fantastic to me. And they sparked up a conversation about how the area needed a dog park, and the park is named after a dog that that nearly died. But Gigi, who is the visionary of the park, adopted. And the park is named after her, a pup that was found just nearly gone. And Kara, and thanks to prayers, because I know Mom and I was praying for this pup. She became healthy enough to be adopted, and Gigi adopted her too. And she was at the park, but I didn't get a chance to socialize with her. The puppies and the dogs, they were having so much fun. They felt like, hey, this park is for us. Can you believe this? And then after the event was over at Carroll, we went to Madison, where the Woofstock Festival was going on. I mean, all the non non-kill animal shelters congregated in tents, bands performed. The festival had to be cut short because it became very cloudy. It looked like a tornado was going to get us. But we had a fantastic time right next to Minchie's Yogurt Shop, right there at the Malco Theater. Many of you or some of you that aren't in the area, just Google that area. It's a real nice shopping area, not far from shop. It's a nice shopping area, movie area. And if you're familiar with Renaissance at North Colony, that's the website, too. It's not far from there. That area, I love Dallas. So if those of you that know about Dallas, if you go to that area, it looks just like Dallas. Look, that's in Madison, Madison Ridge, right past Richmond. There's Jackson, there's Richmond, and there's Madison. So we had a fantastic time at that event also. And let's see, Jackson State plays Valley. I believe Jackson State won that game. I think, I don't know the score, but a lot of people are preparing for the big homecoming game coming up this weekend. And big shout out to Circle City Classic, also Indiana Black Expo. I hear that they had a fantastic job up there. That was Grambling and Alcorn. So I hear they had a fantastic weekend also. And Indiana Black Expo will be sharing pictures with those of us that weren't there in person. So let's talk a little bit. Let's talk about Columbus Day. Some people say Columbus didn't discover America. You know, I'm the, you know, that little girl in me. You know, that's what I was taught in school. So, but today is Columbus Day, and, you know, let's talk about Columbus Day. Let's talk about hot topics and Motivating Monday. You know, of course, we love talking about fun tips, you know, living healthier and happier lives. On Wednesday, we'll talk about celebrating, you know, naughty and nice Halloween ideas. Maybe Belinda will join us. She joined us a couple weeks ago, and I didn't broadcast last Wednesday either. Now Saturday I did not broadcast because I had technical difficulties. I got in and I was preparing for the show, and I was having technical problems. And so True God was scheduled to be guest on Saturday night, so he's going to be guest on October the 26th. It's going to be a late night show. Also, because that's the weekend of the Mississippi Film Festival, too. And, you know, I'm not sure if I'm going to that masquerade ball, so I'm just going to have to, if I do go, I'm just going to have to cut it short so we can talk about Soul Revival 2, with True God and Moral, also, because, you know, he is so multi-talented, and it's always good to talk with him. And those of you that love wrestling, remember to tune in tonight here on Blog Talk Radio to Wrestling Heels. His show airs on Mondays and Thursday nights. And big shout out to my friends, my LeBear guys. You guys know I love you so much. I can't wait to get back to Dallas. I didn't get a chance to see the guys when I was in Dallas in New Year's, but I'm shouting out my guys in Florida because tonight is a big, big show. Women from all over the world, as they tell me, are in Miami tonight for this big contest. So I'm shouting out my friends, my LeBear guys, especially Julian, who've been talking with all afternoon. Also, sending love out to all the guys that are competing and all the women that will be there enjoying and motivating and rooting guys on. Big shout out. I had a fun night. But big shout out to all the LeBear guys. You guys are awesome. So I just had to do that and encourage. You know, because it's amazing that, you know, these guys, they talk about how they are looked on because of their looks and their appearance. Many of them share that, hey, I am not just all looks, I'm not just all this, I'm not just all that. I'm a human being. I have feelings. I am emotional. And it's amazing when the guys really want you to see that part of them also. They just don't want to be looked at as, you know, like some women don't want to be looked at as just an object. And so it's pretty cool when those guys really network and talk about, you know, their real life and how they really are and their goals. And if they're in steady relationships or if they're looking for love, they sincerely talk about that. They, you know, some people don't like that playboy lifestyle, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when certain people that people kind of put an image on, share how their lives really are, I think that's pretty cool and really sincerely want you to to love their work, but then also love them as a person. So just rooting on the guys. And Julian said he's just going to do what he do, you know, because I'm like, I'm praying for you to win. He's like, well, you know, I'm just going to do the best that I can do. I'm sure he'll be glad if he wins, but he just want to put on a good show. And the other, and the guys that do, you know, want to win, shouting you guys out too. But, you know, just by putting on a good show and the best show ever, that will cause the person to win, right? That's how a lot of people win. Look at it when we watch the Oscars and Grammys. Some people, they win, they did not even think they were going to win, you know. But because I'm friends with a lot of those guys, I'm shouting out all those that are participating. And you guys do the best that you can, and best wishes to you all. But let's continue on and have fun. I see my cousin Rhonda's on. I don't know if she's going to talk with us, but I'm sure she has some tips to share regarding healthy living. And also, this is still travel season, and, you know, she's always has some information and good advice to share with us. But, you know, hopefully she'll talk with us today. And really, this is like a, just a feel with it show. Because earlier today on Facebook, we were talking about 50 Shades of Grey. It's been a change of plans of the casting. And so I guess I'm going to say that for if Cousin Linda wants to talk, we can talk more on that. Dakota Johnson is still cast as the female lead part, but there have been change of plans because the actor that was cast for the lead has dropped out now because of a busy schedule. When I was watching Wendy Williams, she said she believed he got like cold feet because he knows this film will make him a major superstar, and he's comfortable doing the work that he does on a consistent basis, you know, getting the money that he's getting. Cousin London and I, we kind of feel like maybe it comes from the backlash from some fans of the book, the media. You know, but, you know, some people thought he was perfect. First of all, I have not read the trilogy yet. I'm just looking forward to seeing the movie. I'm going to read it before the movie is made. And I'm looking forward to seeing Zane's Addicted that's going to hit the theaters real soon. Also, they wrapped up filming of that film about 2 or 3 months ago. So I cannot wait to see that film. And because, it's just amazing. So those are two erotic films that are based on erotic books that I cannot wait to see. Addicted by Zane, but it's coming out the early part of the year, and 50 Shades of Grey. Those are some good, some good films. And I wonder what movies Cousin London's seen. I haven't seen a movie since The Butler about a month ago. So I do want to see Captain Phillips. That seems like that's a very interesting film. But let me stop doing all this gabbing. You know, we started off with Prince. If you haven't seen Prince, the video Breakfast Can Wait, check it out. It's a cute video. Nice video. You do not see Prince in the video, but it's a nice video if you haven't seen it yet. Definitely follow Prince at Third Eye Girl on Twitter and MPG Official. I had a fun time on Wednesday night jamming with the time. Oh, yes. Marvin's Day and the Time was in Jackson, Mississippi at the fair, and they rocked on like it was nobody's business. I shared pictures. I shared video. I was right at the speakers, so the video sound isn't so hot because I was right in front of the stage with security at the speakers. And also, I was I forgot. I'm filming, and I'm dancing the whole time. So the videos are kind of jumpy also. But there are some moments where there are a couple films, videos that are pretty steady in all of that. But I guess I should have taken more pictures than film video because I was jamming and dancing and talking back to the Morris and the Time like it was nobody's business. You believe that? But let's continue on and have fun and listen to some, I'll play some of my music and PSAs, and we're just going to go with the flow today, talk about Columbus. I'm sure Cousin Linda really can have a history lesson also regarding who discovered America. Because my thing is, I know, how can a country be discovered that already had inhabitants on it, right? The American Indians. So I know, but okay, let's have fun right now. I'm multitasking too, cooking breakfast. But here is Andre Camone, childhood friend of Prince, original bandmate, Andre Camone, awesome producer. Andre Camone. Wow, wow, wow.
freedom yet.
Yeah. Lovely, lovely, lovely song for today.
I am in a predicament, trying to be a gentleman. She wants me back again.
Oh, I tried so hard
to be as faithful, but I wasn't able. Now it's more painful. Oh, the grass seems green on the other side, and I don't want to see what I have to leave behind. Don't make me choose to be here without you. There's no rules to fit.
No rules
when you fall in a kid. We find that your love can be with more than one. I'm caught in between.
Caught in
the
between.
Both can be mean. I gotta choose one, but with you it's more fun.
But it's for not that one.
My dreams will get shot down. I'm late to the showdown.
Troubles all around.
Love for the shepherd who left from the shelter to try to find better.
Oh, the grass seems green on the other side, and I don't want to see what I have to leave behind.
Don't make me choose to begin without you. There's no rules to fit.
No rules
when you fall in a kid, we find that your love can be with more than one. I'm caught in between.
Caught in between.
Both can be mean. I gotta choose one, but with you it's more fun.
But it's for not that one.
Pray and fear the
Cousin Linda had posted a history lesson on my timeline, and plus talking with Julian. This is a very important night, so if you can, please show up and support Julian. Those of us that can't, he's understanding that we cannot, but we're there in spirit. My cousin Linda posted on my Facebook page that this is regarding, this is a Columbus Day history lesson. Oh, and she's ready to talk to us also. Critics of Columbus Day, leading up to the 500th anniversary of Columbus sighting of the Americas, which occurred in, I don't know, that's not the right year, Cousin Linda. Let me get her on. Because I'm going to share some Columbia, like Wikipedia history, you know, from the books, from Wikipedia. But I know Cousin Linda breaking down what's not taught in history books. Here's Cousin Linda.
Hi, Cousin Beth.
Hi, Cousin Linda.
Hi.
How are you?
Went and got that. I'm doing Peter Keen. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you. I knew you would share with us some, like, real Columbus Day history. You know me. I go from the textbook, which I hear is not always true.
Not if you are reading textbooks that were printed in the United States. Not to be critical or anything, you know, I just wanted to tune in to the show because I was listening and you were saying that you were going to discuss a number of topics, and I'm not an authority on Columbus Day. And I said, well, I don't know what to discuss today, so I just went to Google right quick, and that was one of the first little articles that popped up. And I said, well, I'll just post this out there. You know, nothing. I really don't have any comments other than it's a federal holiday and celebrated by, what, the Italian population in this country, the Italian community?
Mm-hmm.
And I presume that, I was going to say, I presume that federal employees are glad to be off today, but most of them are furloughed, so.
Exactly. And those that love Columbus Day sales are loving it because of the sales.
Well, with the furlough, do people have money to spend on the sales today?
Yeah, exactly. But there's some people spending money, I bet.
Well, yeah, you're going to always have that crowd,
you know,
that has money.
I talked to one of the a couple that was running a concession stand, and the fair people have been telling me that the fair had been doing well, but I think the fair did do well. But I talked to a concession owner, and the owners, they told me that it had been slow during the fair, and they believe it's because of the furlough people, because people don't want to let go of their money, not knowing what their future is going to hold.
Yeah, even though you have money, yeah, sometimes with the uncertainty will make you hold on to it a little tighter.
So you're right. Some people that would shop, like those that would be off work today, if they work for the government, some furlough workers aren't shopping today.
Yeah.
They might be shopping some.
Yeah, well, but, I haven't
but
been
then
out
you mentioned
today.
That, I thought about what that a concession owner told me, and she was like, people haven't been spending money like they usually do. And she was like, been coming to the fair for years, something like a couple of decades. And she's like, that's the slowest it had been, you know. And she felt that it had something to do with the government shutdown.
I think so. I'm not sure because, you know, I'm not out there because I quit shopping a long time ago. My thing is online. so I don't have a clue as to what's going on with brick and mortar. I just sit here with my nice little laptop, which gets me into trouble because it'll make you buy stuff that you didn't know you wanted. Because I used to get 100 emails, you know, all day back in the days when email was popular. So I don't know what has happened to my friends, because you know I still send emails and I don't receive any.
Yeah, and I love your emails. So those friends, you guys need to respond to Cousin Linda's emails, because I love
her
emails.
They do. I'm so hurt.
I get to the point where I'm backed up. I need to take time and go back.
Well, yeah, people will be talking about, wait, you send so many. I said, well, it's not like you have to respond to them. You can read them at your leisure. It's not like when I send an email, I want you to read it right now and get back. A lot of times I'm just passing along information. That's all.
Exactly.
But,
wait, I don't recall you sending me information. I learned this on Saturday, but I've been hearing rumors about a certain schools were going to be turned to charter schools in Jackson. But I don't recall getting an email from you regarding Lanier might become a charter school.
I most definitely sent it. It probably got
you
lost
did?
In the shuffle.
Because I know you sent me an email regarding it, because I know you know what's going on. Because at the dog park opening, I met a young teacher at Lanier right now, and he was sharing with me that about the medical mall. If Lanier becomes a charter school, if the proposal is accepted, then Lanier would become a charter school. And I said, my cousin Linda knows all of that. I said, I know she knows about this.
Well, I've been looking at it. I think I was reading articles on the Clarion Ledger, Jackson Free Press, and my friend, who we refer to each other as Big Brother and Little Sis, sent me some information because he was quoted in the article in the Clarion Ledger. He's working with Dr. Shirley. And
yeah, because he mentioned Dr. Shirley, and I said, Dr. Shirley was my pediatrician doctor. You know, he was my doctor when I was a baby.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, anyway,
I talk about him all the time. I mean, I had to take you to the doctor, and Dr. Shirley did this.
Oh, I always thought Dr. Britton was the family doctor for you guys. Maybe Dr. I was on the stage.
Dr. Shirley was my pediatrician doctor, and Dr. Britton, was he my doctor, Mom? I know Dr. Britton was my doctor, but Dr. Wiener delivered me. And Dr. Shirley was my pediatrician doctor after I was born.
Okay. Well, anyway, back to Dr. Shirley and Al Thomas, my friend, Al was telling me about they wanted to change Lanier to a charter school. And so I told him, well, I didn't know whether it would be a good thing or not, because charter schools over here in the Dallas Metroplex are not looked upon favorably. It's not really a good thing because they usually want to do it in schools in low-performing areas or areas where the income, the family income is considered low or what have you. And they've closed some schools over here in the Dallas area. So I was thinking that would not be a good thing for Jackson. However, Al was telling me that, well, if Dr. Shirley is backing it, it's probably a good thing. And he was also saying, look at the success Dr. Shirley has had with the medical mall. And I said, well, yeah, that's true. But another friend of mine was saying that he didn't think it was a good idea, because if it happens to Lanier, then the state could come in and say, well, we're going to make the rest of these schools charter schools or community schools, as Alvin refers to them as community schools, and take that money that could be going to poorer and underperforming predominantly or all black schools and give it to more successful white schools. So I don't know, but I did send you the article because, you know, I don't leave you off on anything.
Exactly. That's what I told him. I said, I'm sure Cousin Linda knows about this and have sent me the information. And because I had heard our lieutenant, our second assistant police chief, Lee Vance, who is also an alumni of Lanier. I think he was in my late brother's class, he and Tyrone Lewis. They all were. I was in Lanier with my brother, late brother Chris, and Rob J in Mississippi. What's the guy's name that hosts the show on Saturday morning? Mississippi Sinatra. Yeah, I think they were asking him about Lanier because he mentioned the. I'm not really sure because I don't really know the definition of charter schools. He said I need to learn more about it. So he was like, I don't have an opinion yet, but. That's a good point you shared. That teacher, he said it would be good depending on the proposal. So a lot of people are knocking and hadn't even seen the proposal yet. But
exactly.
But it seemed like he feels like your friend, that if Dr. Shirley is really, you know, because they said they really want it at Lanier because Dr. Shirley is an alumni of Lanier, and a lot of people feel it would be good for Lanier. But some people are knocking and not seeing the proposal.
Right. Right. Some people want to be anti regardless. I don't care if you say the sky is blue. They want to say, no, it's not. That's only an illusion. It's actually purple and so and so and so. So I don't know. You know, I'm 400 miles away. I really don't know what's going on other than what I'm getting from somebody who's very much in favor of it and articles that I've been reading.
But you know, your experience in the Dallas Metroplex, you know your experience there.
Mm-hmm. Well, if it's something that's going to benefit Lanier, my alma mater, I'm all for it. I don't care what it is. And the class of 66 has people who, and class of 67 too, they're pretty active. And they get together and sponsor events that benefit Lanier. And my friend Al was telling me about how they have raised, I think, about $20,000 and given a lot of scholarships to children at Lanier, like $1,000 scholarships, which I told him I didn't really think a $1,000 scholarship to a college really benefited anybody, because what is that, tuition for a semester or maybe a book or two? I think the money could be put to better use and, to me, help all of the students, not just a select few. But they have gotten together and come up with clothes for the prom, and I have a couple of friends who tutor students at Lanier, because I wish I were there because I could volunteer. I'd love to volunteer.
Most definitely. They could definitely use your expertise.
Well, I was pretty good in English and history, and I know a lot of children don't like history, and I think I could make that interesting. And I really don't know what the curriculum is at Lanier anymore. So I don't know if I'd be of any help, but I would like to do something.
APS curriculum, teachers and parents, they have negative things to say. I'm a proud product of JPS, and a lot of my friends who have kids in JPS and are teachers and principals, you know, they seem proud. But then also the teacher I spoke with this past Saturday, and also we see the news reports how our curriculum could be better, you know. The overall,
what are they teaching?
The whole system.
Do you have any idea what they're teaching? Say on the secondary level.
I'm wondering because when I was there, we were on what you call a CBOC curriculum, where all the teachers had to teach the same thing, and it was like real hardcore teaching too. I mean, they couldn't teach less. They didn't, those that like to elaborate, they had trouble elaborating too, those that wanted to teach more, like what wasn't in the textbook. So they scratched CBOC out a long time ago, so I don't know what structure or system they're using nowadays, but I hear a lot of negative feedback. I need to get more involved and really see. I used to go to meetings, JPS meetings and everything. I need to start back getting involved and seeing exactly what is going on. Because just for those of us without kids, it's still important. We're part of the community and care what goes on, you know?
Exactly. Well, my class, and I think classes of 67, 68, 69 were instrumental in getting the Lanier High School license plates, too. Have you seen any around Jackson, Lanier High School license plates?
I see Lanier license plates often.
So you were part of that
I didn't participate in my friends and some former classmates and some former schoolmates got that started and were instrumental in getting that done, completed. They had a long time because they had several deadline extensions because I think they had to come up with 300 people to purchase the tags, and each tag sold would net them a profit, I think, of $30 or something, and so that goes into a fund for Lanier. But I told my friend, I think, number one, y'all need to start with some beautification. The school, the pictures that I've seen of Lanier, and when I was in Jackson and I'd drive by there, were just really depressing. So fix it up on the outside and make it look like a beautiful school rather than some condemned building in Beirut or something. I mean, it just really looks terrible to me.
Yeah.
And I said,
when I was living down there in the 70s, it was very manicured. It always had been a nice neighborhood. And I was like, wow, if you could talk to some of my relatives, I mean, wow. I know you've heard stories. I said, but, I know you, wow, these you guys definitely need to write some books about Lanier, civil rights movement, and also Lanier, Georgetown community.
And the Lanier graduates.
That's amazing. I was just talking to Mom the other day about how that community used to be so manicured and neat. Because I only have good memories.
And then when I do go to
Georgetown, it breaks my heart because that the school, the neighborhood used to be so manicured and businesses would be everywhere.
Well, now just think, Lanier was across the street from Lanier used to be, I guess you could call it a nightclub / restaurant, the Maple Street Grill. It was first the Maple Street Grill. And around the corner, which I posted on YouTube the other day, I played a song by Sims Twins called Soothe Me Baby, and it reminded me of when your mother and your father had Ned's Eat Shop, because that was the first time I had ever heard that song, and that was like two steps from Lanier. And around the corner going in the opposite direction, there's a railroad track. So just listening to what was in the neighborhood at the time, you would think Lanier would be... You would think Lanier would be just some old slum school or whatever. But it turned out quite a few very, very successful people.
Woo!
Do you remember Lerone Bennett,
yes,
who
I love
authored
that man.
All those books. Yeah, he was the uncle to a very dear friend of mine who lives in Chicago now, Marshall Bennett. And I was trying to think of some. I think Richard Wright, who, the published author, Richard Wright.
And Lerone Bennett, when she mentioned that name, you guys know whenever you look at Ebony Jet, anything from Johnson Publishing Company,
that
picture has been taken by Lerone Bennett.
and articles and all those books he wrote Black history.
He even published Mr. Johnson's book. He sure did. Most of the books by Johnson Publishing Company. Yeah. Amazing.
Well, I just found out a few months ago from another Lanier graduate who's a PhD in Atlanta, Christine Coleman. Beth, you might remember little Chris that lived right there near us on Detroit Street. I don't know if you, Chris, you may not remember little Chris. But anyway, she sent me an article a couple of months ago. She and her daughter had taken a trip to Paris, and they were looking at areas where black people had lived, expatriates who had lived in Paris. And Richard Wright was one of them, and Richard Wright was a graduate of Lanier High School.
Yeah,
and I didn't know that, and I like to try to pride myself on having some knowledge of things, but I did not know that Richard Wright was a Lanier graduate.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm.
So I'd hate to see the school close or, see it decline any further, because it would be a tremendous loss.
But usually when Lanier is in the news, it's for good reasons, for outstanding students, academics.
And
usually when it's in the media, it's been for good reason.
Well, that's good. And our star athlete of the moment, Monte Ellis.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Now Maverick.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. So.
And, yeah, Lanier has just graduated tons and tons of wonderful people. So I think it would be, a real loss. And a lot of people who pass by there that don't know the history of Lanier just see it as some old big dilapidated, decaying building.
Wow. I love to hear Mama's stories about when I was a baby, though, stories of, this was past the civil rights. What was going on like in the early 70s when things was going on, some riots was happening at Lanier, like in the late 60s, early 70s?
I don't remember any riots.
Mom, what year was the riot that happened at Lanier? Oh, she said, you know, she talked about the riots sometimes.
I really don't remember a riot. Now, I remember when we protested and demonstrated in 63, but I don't remember any.
She was, okay. Well, she said, I guess she's talking about 63. We'll have to get the facts right and I'll bring it up
that
again.
That was not a riot. Beth, I just posted a picture of Lanier on Facebook. I don't know if it's had time to hit yet.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I mean, the picture that they're showing shows the broken window and the window sills looking like I don't know what.
Uh-huh.
Now, I told Alvin, I said, number one, start fixing the perimeter, the outside of the building, and do some beautification.
Okay, this is not a current picture. Is it my past picture or current picture?
This is a current picture of Lanier. That's
the
way it looked last time I saw it.
I thought you were talking about a past picture. Oh, my
goodness. No, darling, that's the way it looks now pretty much. They may have fixed that window by now, but it's not the nice-looking building when I was attending.
Mm. Wow.
I haven't seen Lanier in years.
Yeah, I haven't been by there since probably early in the year. I'm going to have to go look at it. But I figured they had been keeping the beautification around at night.
No, ma'am.
But
you
make
terrible.
A good point. Well, you know what? JPS should be handling that with all the schools.
Well, I guess JPS is not concerned about Lanier because it seems like the parents of the students that's going there, and I'm not knocking anybody, may not be taking an active part in trying to get things done. I don't know. But this is the article that was sent to me from my friend Al Thomas. He says he is a Jackson resident and a 1966 Lanier grad, and he has joined Shirley in the grassroots push. I want to see this kind of transformation happen in my lifetime, Thomas said. We all understand that this will enhance the opportunities for the students to have a well-rounded education that will enable them to meet the challenges of a global market. So this is the article that I sent to you, Bethany, that you said you didn't get. Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't get. I said I know my cousin Linda sent me the information. I figured that's what I told the teacher. I said, I know my cousin Linda know about this.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I just hadn't seen it yet. I need to backtrack. Because I know you had a question. Wow.
Yeah, I try to stay informed with what's going on with Lanier. And they had an auction a couple of summers ago, a silent auction at the medical mall. And
yes.
I donated some items. I donated some books. I don't know whether or not they all sold. I know one of them was a book about Michael Jordan. And I think one was some kind of history book and something else. But, yeah, I donated three books for the silent auction. And Monte Ellis donated quite a bit of stuff. I think a jersey and a basketball. And, my friend Al Thomas and some of his cohorts are always sponsoring something to benefit Lanier, but it just doesn't seem to be enough right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Man, this is amazing. This is, I don't know, where is my friend Pianki? That's a regular listener and caller into the show. He's based in St. Louis, and he calls in and talks about the school system in St. Louis. And he said that in St. Louis, they're even considering busing the black kids out to the suburbs to go to school.
Well,
and I'm like, what?
I guess if the schools are better, I never went along with the busing thing. For one thing, I don't like getting children up at 5 o'clock in the morning and having them out in the pitch black dark on corners waiting for buses. I always thought that was a bad idea. And rather than trying to send them to a school that's 20 miles away or whatever, why not improve the school that's in that child's neighborhood? Integration and desegregation and all that, but a building does not make a school.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you put the supplies and equipment and the right teachers in the school, you can get just a good education at your neighborhood school as being opposed to busing. Because, I mean, if somebody had gotten me up at 5 o'clock in the morning and I had to ride a bus wherever, I just
know. You get tired when you arrive at school.
Yeah, and now with all the accidents that buses are having, you know, that's just too much to me to be on a child's mind. School should be a time when you are relaxed, when you're learning, you're receptive to learning, and you should have a good time. Because somebody, my grandmother Hetty, told me that my school days and my high school years were going to be the best years of my life. And she was right. I just had wonderful times when I was in school, in high school.
Me too.
Elementary, junior high,
and college. And that's why I tell those in college too, enjoy their college years. Enjoy their time dating. Enjoy, you know, get their work done and lessons done, but enjoy life. You're right. Because they don't come again. We have a caller too.
Right.
I think it's one of my friends, one of my friends I love networking with.
Okay.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh,
your name,
good.
Where you're calling from?
I called in to be motivated today. I read Richard Bright too when I was younger. I called in to be motivated today. I thought I'd give you a call.
Oh, thank you, and motivate us also. Yes,
I read Richard Bright when I was younger too. I heard you mention Richard Bright.
Yes, he's
my
friend who is my alma mater.
Friends, I'm in Jackson, Mississippi. My cousin's
Black
in Texas.
Boy,
and,
right?
And she's a product of Lanier, the same high school that Richard Wright graduated from.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
That's
who's
Lanier.
Calling and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Connecticut. This is Rod calling.
Okay, I thought it was you, but everybody does not know it's you. This is Ron. Russ, I mean, of Connecticut, a fun friend, listener of this show and Ebony Empress's show also.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also a native of Alabama, right?
Well, I'm going to say Connecticut. Alabama was a long time ago.
Oh, you said you were born there? Okay.
I was.
Well.
But I've been up here a long time ago.
Well, I've been in Dallas a long time, but Jackson is still home.
So I miss
Look,
my
he told
on
the
step
when he called the show last week and started talking about his favorite food. And I'm like, wait a second.
Yeah.
I know good food is everywhere, but he was naming, like, southern food. Not just
like
comfort food
pecan,
in Connecticut, but he started naming food, Mississippi kind of food.
Yeah, he said sideways.
I thought you were from Connecticut. Then he finally told me his parents live in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
What city in Alabama?
Let's see.
I mean, I've been to quite a few cities there.
Think of Dothan.
Uh-huh, I know Dothan. A lot of people used to talk about Dothan when I lived in Columbus, Georgia. There were some school teachers that I met who were from Dothan, Alabama.
Oh, so you say Georgia?
Yeah,
that's
I used
like
to live
Atlanta,
in Columbus,
right?
Georgia. Huh?
I went there, and it was. I remember when I flew down there, everything was big. And I'm 6'2", so I'm not a little guy, so when I had to look up and look at those escalators, which seemed more or less to reach to God, they were so steeped. I was like, what the hell? Will I ever get to this concourse? So big. Everything was big. I was like lost. But that quickly changed when I got changed planes. They put me into one of those little tiny planes. You know the kind of go
like,
you can see the top of the
little
trees and such.
Little crop dusters as we call
them. I was scared. They're like, uh oh.
I've been on top of those too. They're like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's like riding in a helicopter.
But that's lots of good.
So, do you have anything? What's motivating? You're motivating us now. You have any motivating advice for us today, Russ?
Maple walnut, hot sauce, pig feet, ribs.
Hey, you talking my kind of language? And I noticed you call green beans snap beans. I hadn't heard them call that in a long time, but that's what
exactly.
We used to call them.
Exactly. So he told on himself.
I thought everybody had snap beans.
Alabama. But I like Alabama because when we used to go back and forth from Mississippi to Georgia, we always stopped in Alabama, and Alabama had the best tomatoes in the world to me, and Georgia had the best peaches. But Alabama, I always had to stop and say, look, I got to buy a couple of baskets of tomatoes.
Right. Because Linda loves her tomatoes.
I do.
Yeah, that's why I love family, all that good cooking. Get in the kitchen, say, she got some black-eyed peas, and so I'm ready to eat. So you can't. You got to have some bread. So
you
would have
loved the meatloaf I cooked yesterday. Yummy, yummy.
Tell me what was in the meatloaf.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
So y'all can tell I'm real easy to please. Like, can you cook? Yes, I can. I love you so much.
You're so crazy. Fan of Richard Wright. Like, who's not a fan of Richard Wright? He said he heard you mention Richard Wright.
So
you're a fan of Richard Wright.
I read Native Son and Black Boy. But we're going back a good 20 years.
Radio, listening in on the radio to my cousin's radio show. I'm still on the line, Beth.
What happened? Wait, what happened, Linda? She must. So I'm glad you tuned in. I had seen your call come through, and then you hung up, or we got disconnected. And I was like, oh no! Then you called back.
Yeah, I ran to the bathroom, and I said, I hope she's still there. So let me call her back.
Yeah, I'm sitting here, and the True God Immortal interview is rescheduled for the 26th. Okay, so we'll be talking with him on the 26th in a couple of weeks. But he has a show that airs tonight at 10:30.
All right.
Yeah, you and he are the same time. Yeah. So at 10:30, Wrestling Hills.
Okay.
Yeah, it airs on Mondays and Thursdays.
So you're adding to your program, guys. So you've added True God Immortal. So what else are you adding?
Oh, well, he's for Saturday, but he's rescheduled for the 26th. And I'm still Wednesday, Matters of the Heart, you know, we're talking. You know, that's the day we really talk about love and romance and all that. So talking, you know, Halloween ideas and anything that we want to talk about when it comes to Matters of the Heart. Because I'm sure you have so much to say during Ebony's show. So Ebony often calls my Motivating Monday show and Matters of the Heart show. Well, Ebony calls whenever. I mean, she's welcome anytime. And hopefully I get a chance to call her show tomorrow also. I thought I was going to be able to call last week, but I was so preoccupied doing things here. So it looks like I'll be able to call into her show tomorrow. And you know I'll be in the chat room.
I'm usually free in the evening, so I can catch all your evening shows, like after 6 o'clock.
Yeah, because usually I do Mondays early in the morning, but since it's Columbus Day, I was like, go ahead and do later in the day type
show. Yeah, I got online, and I was flipping through, and it's like, Columbus Day. What can I do today but be bored?
Yeah, that's
so
what I
want to
know. Also, what do you have to?
And I said, hey, she can uplift me. Let me call her and see what she's doing.
Wow. Because that's what I was wondering. Do you have anything to say about Columbus Day?
Let's see. Any fun stuff about Columbus Day? Nothing really comes to mind about Columbus Day, but yeah, you mentioned Halloween earlier. I thought about Chris Angle. I saw one of his commercials the other day. He's going to do something really amazing.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. You read my mind because I almost mentioned Chris Angel like 3 minutes ago. And what were you mentioning?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm looking forward to seeing his show tomorrow. Tomorrow's the premiere. But the sneak peek show freaked me out last Tuesday when he did the illusion of splitting the couple in half and then attaching their legs to each other's body. Did you see that?
I missed it, but I heard it was great.
I have
great,
it on my Facebook page today. Go to my Facebook wall. I have it posted on my wall.
Mm-hmm.
But what did you see? Because I'm so excited. I'm so glad he is back. I'm so glad. I love my freaking.
I missed it.
These shows seem like it's
going to
be just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm back. Okay. Did I miss anything?
We've been talking about different. We're talking about Chris Angel now. Because his new show premieres tomorrow night, but he had a sneak peek last Tuesday, and the illusion that he shared was just crazy. Now, I bit my tongue mentioning Chris Angel, and he mentioned that he had seen Chris Angel's commercial. The sneak peek was crazy. I can imagine how the premiere is going to be tomorrow. Crazy. So what commercial did you see?
They were I think it was a levitation, a simple one that time. You know, just floating straight up in the air without anything. It's like, how can you do that?
Exactly.
I think
it was him or another
that's
person.
That's the one I saw.
It was him. Or he levitated someone else.
That was him. They gave us a preview, I think. It was him.
Oh. Because I network with him all the time. And I told him, whenever I get a chance to see one of his shows, I want him to levitate me. But I don't want him doing any of that switcheroo stuff on me, you know, but I would love to be levitated. That would be such an amazing thing.
Yeah, not too high.
Don't levitate me up above the trees and up everything. But usually people are hypnotized when he levitates on us anyway, right? So when you're levitating, you really don't know you're levitating.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, that's not fun then. If I were levitated,
I'd
want to know.
Usually you're like hypnotized when you're levitated.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my cousin Linda's been to Vegas many times. I keep telling her we need to go on vacay to Vegas.
Yeah, we do. Mm-hmm. We'd have a wonderful time. Do you gamble, Beth?
Yeah, I play the slot machines. And I'm one of those people that don't gamble, but when I do gamble, I do good. You know? What do they call it? Winner's luck or something? Yeah,
I get beginner's luck.
I go to play blackjack or whatever. It goes good, but I know to stop ahead of time, you know?
Yeah, I'm one of those gamblers. I set aside X number of dollars, and when it's gone, that's it.
Exactly.
Thing for me. About Vegas, though, the last time I was there, they don't give free drinks like they used to.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that's not fair.
No, it's
they
not.
They do here in Mississippi.
And Shreveport, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, up here, I'm in Connecticut. We have a place called the Mohegan. And
I've heard of the Mohegan.
We got to go, like, out towards Mass that way to get toward it. But I more or less do like your friend. It's like I'll take $20 worth of quarters and we'll go out there and we'll play a couple of the machines and either I win, I won another $20 or I just gave them another $20.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, there's these people who take their rent money and mortgage money and all that stuff and take it and gamble. Now, I couldn't do that. I think those are the people
who are
hooked.
Exactly, because when the casinos came to Mississippi, a lot of business owners, a lot of people lost their businesses because they kept going, hitting the highway, going to Vicksburg, Philadelphia, Tunica. A lot of businesses closed down here in Jackson. Because the business owners got addicted to gambling, going to the casinos. And I was in disbelief when I used to hear that. But a lot of those stories were the truth. Like, someone got a gambling habit and lost the business. Like, oh, Lord.
Yeah, Uncle James was telling me about a guy down on the coast who was in the military, and the guy's wife lost their home due to gambling.
Mm-hmm.
The poor man didn't know anything about
it. His marriage is split because the spouses gambled too much, went to the casinos and gambled too much.
Mm.
Yeah,
I know housewives and everything. From working couples to housewives, they start going to that casino, going crazy, and start causing marital problems.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun, but I don't like it that much because, well, I had to work for my money. It'd be something different if somebody had given it to me or if I'd won it in the lottery.
I
had to work.
Go visit your cousin. Have a good time.
Exactly. I guess some people say, well, you guys taking the fun out of it. But, you know, that's why they have Gambling Anonymous and everything. But, yeah, but casinos are fun. I love everything about casinos, not just the, you know, the entertainment,
too.
Food. Casinos are fun.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but there was a story like this past summer where a man sued a casino. But what you're talking about, Cousin Linda, something about too many free drinks. Something happened.
Too many or too few?
Yeah, the free drinks. Something about his alcoholism or something, and they kept giving him free drinks. And it's something about that he was suing the casino or the family. I think it was him. There are cases sometimes when family sues when a loved one has passed away. But I think this gentleman was alive, but he was suing the casino because something had happened. And he was like, well, they kept giving me free drinks. I think because
therefore, due to his being drunk from the free drinks.
So he blamed the casino for giving him free drinks because he kept spending his money.
Mm-hmm. That sounds about right, but I doubt if that lawsuit would hold up in court.
Exactly. Exactly. I know I heard a story recently about a man suing for those free drinks.
I need to sue for the opposite because I didn't get enough free drinks.
London said she didn't get enough.
I mean, you had to run down the cocktail waitress because, see, they're supposed to come around and see if you want anything. You know, I remember years ago, you just acted like if you were gambling. You know, you go over to a slot machine and throw a few nickels in there, and you're going to get some little coins to come back. And the waitress would come by with the little free drinks, and as long as she was getting her little tip, I don't see where it mattered to her. The house is not losing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And, and because you've got people who gamble who do not drink. So I couldn't understand that. But when we take buses over to Shreveport, those waitresses were on it. Every time you look around, they were coming by with a tray full of stuff.
So what's your favorite drink you would ask them for?
El Cheapo drinks like rum and coke or whiskey sour, beer.
Whiskey
nothing
sour,
fancy.
I like that. That's good.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, none of these old fancy drinks that require your best liquor and all that. It's not like I'm saying I need a shot of Grey Goose.
Yeah.
Just give me a good cocktail.
Yeah, you know, the El Cheapo stuff. I'm not spending
no
a lot of money.
No Long Island iced tea? Nothing like that?
No,
Long Island
I didn't
iced tea, seven liquors in it.
No,
that'll get her liquored up.
No, I asked for, like I said, little El Cheapo.
What's your drink of choice, Russ?
Yeah, the goose, huh? The goose. Yeah.
Great
I
don't even
like vodka. Long Island iced tea. That's good. It's
like
that
too.
Tea. But in like 5 seconds, it hit you.
Exactly.
You
I didn't have to sip on that one. Okay, that's not the stop. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
One or two. Probably one of
yeah.
them, Long Island I see. Yeah.
As I tossed a couple of glasses back and said, that's nothing. That's piss water. So I stood up to go to the bathroom, and the room starts spinning around. I said, stop moving the room.
Oh,
I'm going out with Doc, don't worry. I'll play fair.
Wow, that's crazy.
So,
Linda, do you watch Scandal? Because Russ is a big... Yeah, we love Scandal.
No,
so,
I see all over Facebook, you know, how people have Scandal parties and they've got to do this, that, and the other for Scandal. But I miss all the first seasons, and so I don't think I'll know what's going on. So
I had a friend that she called herself up and watched like a marathon of the season. Like last week, she had not seen the seasons, and she called herself up watching a marathon of
I'll just tell you guys that there are links so you can get caught up from the first episode.
It's wild.
Yeah, it's wild.
Well, I need to see what Star Jones has been tweeting, because I know Star Jones is not a fan of Scandal. She's wondering why so many people are condoning
that's
this behavior.
Because I got to now, Beth, I got to ask the other woman on the phone. I got to ask
you.
This
is my cousin Linda. She's an author also.
Yeah, I got to ask you, it's like, can you see yourself endorsing Scandal when the more or less the soul of the movie is one woman is having an affair, ongoing affair with a married man? I mean, can you cheer such a thing on?
No, I can't.
I mean,
it happens.
It's fun.
Yeah,
it's a man. He's got power.
And the man is the president.
Do all this stuff for. Yeah, he's the president. Yep. Not just a regular guy, the president. Yeah, she can fly anywhere, drive anywhere. I mean, you can have secret rendezvous anywhere. Mount Rushmore, if you want.
That's wonderful, but no, I'm kind of moralistic.
Yeah, Beth
would
be up there at Mount Rushmore laughing. More, give me another Long Island iced tea.
Yeah, well, I'm from, you know, the old school. I'm product of the 60s and stuff, back there when there were morals, whether they were just on the surface or whether they were, you know, the sin was hidden. And I don't like the way that, you know, TV and movies have gone, because it seems like it just encourages so much of this aberrant behavior and immorality in our country, which is not a good thing. I'm all for entertainment, but it seems like nothing is forbidden anymore. And it just seems like the more guttural, raunchy it is, the more we like it.
But even as a little kid, I rarely saw bedroom scenes. And usually the bedroom, they had double beds in the bedroom, even when I was a little kid on
married
TV shows.
Married couples,
I know all
of that stuff happens. They say that, you know, well, it's realistic. This is real life. But let's put that, I think we should put that kind of stuff on late at night, because I have a problem with CBS's new lineup, this program.
Oh, my goodness. Cousin Linda has a show that she is just appalled by. I didn't know the show was this bad. Cousin Linda,
let's talk
about the show. It comes on Monday night.
Yeah, it'll come on tonight.
Okay.
Yeah,
Monday night.
Mom on CBS.
Have you seen Mom yet, Russ?
I haven't heard of that one. I gotta check that one out.
I seen the commercials and I thought about watching it. I thought it was a fun show, but yeah, that was a
Mom.
Show. But Cousin Linda have shared some information with me.
Tell me what happened in the show.
Well, the grandmother is an alcoholic. They go to AA. The grandmother and the mother are both alcoholics, so they go to Alcoholics Anonymous. grandmother talks about how the daughter was conceived, and then the 15-year-old daughter is living at home with her mother. And this particular mother has these two children, the 15-year-old daughter. She had him by one guy. And then she has a son who's about 8 or 9 years old, and she had him by some other dude who's, I think, a former drug addict, and he doesn't pay child support because he doesn't work. And then the 15-year-old daughter is pregnant by a doofus. And
the 15-year-old daughter is pregnant?
Yeah, and the mom and grandmama have embraced it. They think it's so cool. And
so daddy's not around and he hasn't passed, right?
Right. No, they, this is trash.
Uh-huh.
There was never any, well, we were happily married and we got divorced. No, this is just filthy trash. And see, and this kind of thing is glorified. They make jokes about how they were conceived, and the moms are just sluts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not funny, you know.
And
women,
that show premiered about 4 weeks ago, and it's still on the air, so somebody's watching it, because there are some shows that don't see past the second week. So
that's
kind of scary.
Well, they're advertising it as one of CBS's hottest new shows. And see, I used to love
exactly,
the Monday night lineup.
Exactly, because it piqued my interest. I said, wow, I need to watch
well,
that show.
Well, watch it. Yeah, tape it
well,
if you can't watch it. Hmm?
I used to look forward to, like, Hawaii 5-0, you know, Magnum P.I.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have those extreme sex scenes like they do today. Like Beth mentioned,
exactly.
They show them pushing the bed together, and now you show the king size, queen size bed up there, and the couple. I mean, there you see just the clothes are all over the place, and
yeah, and it's too graphic.
They show everything. They show everything, and
you're right. Even Miami Vice back in the
'80s,
you never saw explicit love scenes.
And the only protection
even Miami Vice,
is like,
with
make
the
sure my wife doesn't come through that door. That's the only kind of protection the guy's worried about. Don't let her come through that door. Oh, God. I mean, that's it. I mean,
and I enjoyed the shows because I didn't really need to know what the guys were doing. They were saying that one of the reasons that Magnum P.I. started losing viewers was because you just didn't find me and three guys hanging out, and there were never any women involved. And I said, well, we don't need to see all of their lives. We're just seeing Magnum and his antics, what he's going to do with Higgy and you know, him and his pals, the guy with the helicopter and the guy that owned the bar. They
but
were
Rick,
always having
Rick,
little
Rick
antics.
And, Rick and AJ,
AJ,
Yeah.
And so it was just funny to me, and you know, they were all nice-looking men, and I think that Magnum P.I., whatever his name is, I forget, was good-looking enough to draw women in, because that was the main reason I started watching it, was because he was so good-looking, and then Moses or Mosley or whatever, the guy that drove the helicopter.
Roger Mosley, I think.
Yeah, he was good-looking and muscular. And like I said, that was the eye candy for women. And then I thought the adventures would bring the guys in, which it did, obviously. But then they had a couple of episodes on there where Magnum had to get a girlfriend and start bedding her down, and that's when I quit watching it. And
you can't have a regular girlfriend. You got to continue going through women. That would make it fun. Once you make them settle down, they're going to lose interest.
Yeah. And then on Hawaii 5-0, well, number one, I was fascinated by the music and then the scenery of Hawaii and Steve McGarrett always getting the bad guy. And
Except the bald guy at the very end.
Wolf
you remember
fat.
The bald guy? Yeah.
Wolf
he always managed to evade
never
him.
He never, even when he caught Wolfat, he had to let him go due to diplomatic relations or whatever.
That's what makes it good. I love those kind of movies.
Me too.
When a good guy fights against a bad guy and you don't win because I'm the good guy, I mean, you have to work. Because the bad guy isn't just, you know, the paper figure. I'm the bad guy. I mean, you got to work. He knows. I mean, he's used to your routine. He's been fighting with you so long. He knows your guys, how you think, how you maneuver. So he's going to be able to outmaneuver you most of the time quite easily unless you sit down and think. And that's when you come to the chances where we got him, we got him. But we have to let him go because, like you said, diplomatic immunity. Like, damn.
Yeah. And I was so glad in that episode where he actually caught Wolfat. I said, now Wolfat is going to get what's coming to him. And, of course, at the end. I mean, McGarrett was so mad he could have chewed nails. He had to let Wolfat go.
Yeah, I love to hear Book of Dunno.
Yeah,
exactly. Now, see, we love talking about old classic shows. That's what he and I, what Russ and I talked about last Sunday, classic comedies like Bosom Buddies and just shows, comedies from the and Fantasy Island and Love Boat. Even Love Boat, you didn't see, you know, what you were talking about, Cousin Linda, you know.
You would
you would see some kind of sex scenes on Love Boat. With celebrities.
Yeah, they're on the water and everything.
It was just a fun family show.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it seems like now everything has to follow a formula, which I guess in the past it did. But now it's just, like I said, how vulgar can we get? And it's an insult to me because I just can't continue watching filth. And so I, you know, have to turn, when Mom comes on, I have to change channels because I keep thinking it's going to get better.
Adults should have a choice to watch shows that are adult content. But then when you think a show is for the family, and it's like, wait a second, it's not a family show.
It comes on like at 7 p.m. and 7:30, early prime time when children are watching TV. And that's the problem I have with it. You know, if it came on at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night or something, I could kind of go along with it if that's the kind of entertainment you like. Now, I tell you one on CBS that I just love. And it has a little tinge of raunchiness, but it's, I don't know, kind of a little sophisticated. And that's Mike and Molly. And they're holding that off until January for some strange reason. But Mike and Molly is funny. And Mike and Molly.
Your show mom works out. They're trying to figure out the lineup and everything for the next season.
I read online that CBS is trying to promote this crap that they have now, this mom and whatever else. They're trying to build an audience for that. And they know that those of us who are staunch Mike and Molly fans, we're going to turn in regardless. And so they're trying to build up a following for these new shows.
One of my favorite CBS shows is Undercover Boss. I love me some Undercover Boss, Shark Tank on ABC, and Secret Millionaire ABC. I love me some Undercover Boss. Undercover Boss just gets me every time. You never watch Undercover Boss? I love that show.
I'm probably watching some old TV show on MeTV or something.
Undercover Boss. But the thing is, it usually airs when Shark Tank airs sometimes, and I miss out on it.
Well, what's Shark Tank about?
Shark Tank is where inventors present in front of millionaires and billionaires, because Mark Cuban is a shark, and they present their new product to the sharks, and the shark either decide to offer them an offer, like if you have an invention, and Mark might say, I want to invest $100,000 with 25% of the 25% return, and then either they make a deal or not. Sometimes the sharks make deals together. Sometimes people do not get deals. Sometimes they do not get any offers.
I used to watch something like that on Saturday mornings. I don't know if it came on MSNBC or CNBC, I think. And they would have like 3 minutes on an elevator to pitch their idea to
investors. Oh, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about MSNBC, Your Business. I love that show. It's one of my favorite shows on Sunday mornings. Yeah, similar to the elevator pitch.
Okay.
Yep, they pitch their products, but to like four sharks, and the sharks will make a decision or not to give them an offer.
That's excellent. That's a good way for people. Even if the sharks don't take them up on their presentations or whatever, there may be somebody that in the TV audience that's watching that may want to do it.
Exactly. They have updated with people that didn't get offers, but because they appeared on Shark Tank, it helped their business. They got deals anyway, or it helped their business.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of like American Idol, which I never did really watch. But I noticed that a couple of times they were saying that the people that came in second actually did better than some of the winners. Like Jennifer Hudson, and Kelly Clarkson or somebody,
And that's why sometimes when I'm watching The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, I'm like, please, don't cry. You never know who's watching. You know, just because they're brokenhearted, like when they're like when they don't get a rose from a Bachelor or Bachelorette, I'm like, be careful how you react. I mean, you know, I know it's easier said than done, but you don't know who's watching. You might, your love might be watching the show.
That's true.
Just because you don't get chosen on the show.
True. Well, changing the subject here a little bit, Beth, I know you've been keeping up with the people coming to town to film that James Brown movie, and I'm sure you probably
Because I even supposed to submit my information because I didn't make it to the casting call. Yeah.
Well, they're still what, auditioning people?
Uh-huh,
I saw that online today. Mm-hmm.
There was?
I saw that online today where they're still interviewing or auditioning or whatever, and they're telling people to still come out.
I need to email my headshot and my information, but I've been spreading the word because they've been looking for gentlemen, especially young black guys that can play like different trumpets and trombones and different horns.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, you guys better go audition. You better go.
Amen. They might be discovered. You never know who they'll discover.
Exactly. You know, Mick Jagger, they've been seeing, there's been Mick Jagger's fighting because his film company.
I saw that in the Clarion Ledger.
Yeah, his film company is co-producing the film.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the guy that directed The Help, he is a Jackson native, Tate Taylor, and lives in Vicksburg. He's directing the film.
Speaking of The Help, that Allison, what's her name, Jenny or whoever that was in The Help, she's the grandmother. Well, she's on Mom.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She said the way she got the part, she and Tate Taylor are good friends.
Oh.
And to go from The Help and some of her other work to this, but she apparently thinks that being on Mom is good. So I said, well, I guess when you're an actress, you know, you're just concerned about working.
I don't know. I've been an aspiring actress, and you know, I still, you know, they tell me it's not too late. Octavia, I know her. Octavia called me to be a part of A Time to Kill. Octavia, she worked in front of the camera and behind the scenes. I was an extra in Ghost of Mississippi and The Chamber, but I missed out on a little speaking role as a reporter with Time to Kill. Octavia Spencer called me because she was helping the cancer film office. She called me to tell me that, hey, they want you to come and for a speaking role to be a reporter. I couldn't. But you have a good point. I feel like there are some roles that I just feel like I cannot play. Some of those roles where you're like you can get pigeonholed and stereotyped. Like there are some roles I just cannot play. I cannot play like Aunt Jemima type, like period roles. You know, I'm
well,
of a Martin
I mean,
Day type.
What's
but those
the
are the roles
name?
That where some people get recognized at. You know?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Starting out, I think I would probably take anything, you know, as long as I didn't have to take my clothes off or whatever. Build up. Because Denzel Washington did a bunch of Spike Lee for
SJV. You turn my mama up now, because mama's talking about different auditions that I have been called to audition for. Mama's back here just laughing.
Denzel Washington.
Exactly. What were you saying about Denzel Washington?
He did several pieces of trash, namely Spike Lee movies.
Linda.
Yes.
Linda. Mama's trying to get your attention. She wants to talk.
What is she saying? I can hear her saying Linda.
she had a part. They called for her. Come on in. They want her to come with her hair matted down and be filthy and dirty. And she was going to be playing a slave for her.
This was an amazing
She should have done
this was like
it.
When
Hallie,
I came
look.
Back after my after this was like when after my marriage had failed. See, before I married the second husband, I was going on roles, doing this, going on auditions, and been getting extra parts and stuff like
Definitely.
That. And then when I came
Definitely.
Back to Jackson after the marriage had failed, I had gone on a couple auditions. And Mom's talking about one audition where that was the requirement.
Bethany, do you remember how Halle Berry was looking, and I think it was
exactly,
Jungle Fever or whatever?
And in Queen, look at Halle Berry, how she started out in Queen.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, then.
Queen,
so don't be turning your nose up. Don't turn
Queen
your nose up
Halle
at
Berry
certain
superstar. But Jasmine
don't
Guy, I think Jasmine Guy was offered that part first, and Jasmine Guy said, oh, but no, I cannot play that role.
And where is Jasmine Guy today, and where is Halle Berry
exactly.
today?
Exactly.
So don't you turn your nose up at any role. You know, it's honest work. And that's how slaves, and that's how, and look, if you look at how we were looking on those slave ships, that should not be beneath you.
Slave
ships?
If I
being
beneath this certain role, I would prefer to play more Martin style role.
Okay. Are you familiar with the movie Amistad?
I'm familiar with the movie, but unfortunately, I missed it.
Well, it's just
oh,
more
which one? Oh,
this black bringing slavery over, and here,
yeah.
Here in Connecticut, here they have a place where they had the stocks up. You know, where they had the slaves on sale to the market in
yeah.
the 1600s, 1700s, forever. And I guess they more or less kept it up there to glorify it, whereas I saw it as a constant eyesore.
Well, see, that's where I differ.
They
a lot
took
of
that down
what,
like
what,
about
what,
10
what?
Years ago.
So, what is a constant eyesore?
Huh? They have.
What did you say? It's a constant eyesore.
They have a monument up here in Connecticut, and it's
uh-huh.
like a giant museum. And before it, they have two or three stocks, you know, which they had the slave put his head and hands in, and they would lock
oh
him up.
Oh, my God,
and
no
keep
way.
Him bent
but wait
over
a minute.
For
I know that's history.
Yeah, they kept those things out there forever, and I would think, move those things inside the museum instead of
no.
keeping them out front.
No. See, that's what I'm telling you, Bethany. As black people, we don't
mm-hmm.
want to know our history, and we're ashamed of our history
to,
for
we
some reason.
We need to
start
denying our history, Cousin Linda.
But wait a minute. But
we need to start denying our history.
Yes, Jews will tell you we will never forget the Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you look around, whenever a Jew gets an opportunity, they're going to
mm-hmm.
bring the Holocaust up. And see, and that is
exactly.
what happened to us,
friend,
and that's what we
Brian
need
Cuban,
to know.
Mark Cuban's brother, Brian, talks
mm-hmm.
about his relatives and grandparents and all who experienced some bad things. Brian always talked about the Holocaust. He makes sure we
uh-huh.
remember and that we know
and
about what
said,
happened.
Yeah, they say never again. And see, in black people, we are ashamed of that when we, you know, I'm not saying be proud of it, but know your history. Know this is what you came from. This is what happened to you in this country and how
yeah,
you, for whatever reason,
races,
the grace.
No, some races do know our history better than we do.
Better than we do. They do.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what you came from, and don't forget it so that that will not
mm-hmm.
be repeated, because you still have Southerners who say the South shall rise again, and you still
mm-hmm.
have people alive today, believe it or not, who want to go back to that. And if we're not careful, you see what's happening to our race, it wouldn't surprise me if we did go back, because you
mm-hmm.
know people view us as savages anyway.
Right.
But that not only.
Cousin,
but look,
though,
let me finish. Hey, Beth,
mm-hmm.
let me finish.
I told
okay,
Russ
now
about
the stock.
You. Russ, remember I tell you about my cousin and March Omega Everett?
Yeah, that's me.
Russ.
But anyway, when
yeah.
yeah, when you were talking about the stock age,
yeah, well,
but,
she's a teacher.
Okay.
I caught that.
Okay, but the stockade thing, they didn't only do that to slaves and to black people. They used to do that to white people. You know, that was punishment. But
yeah.
As far as, yeah, you know, the postcards where when they would lynch black men and they would hang them from the tree where they had castrated them, I think that we still need to see that, because you'd be surprised at how we don't know our own history and don't want to hear it. And you said something about, Beth and I were talking about St. Louis and different school systems and everything. And I had this friend when I first moved to Dallas who was from St. Louis. I guess she was about 6 or 7 years younger than me. And she would be laughing about the things that I was telling her about that we endured during Jim Crow. She thought that was funny. And I said,
why?
No, that's not, I don't know. You know, I couldn't understand her mentality. And she said, well, I never experienced that. Well, even if you didn't experience it, it's nothing to laugh at. It's just not funny. So, yeah, I think we need to have reminders, because we haven't always had these so-called privileges.
Because this blog talk show, which we enjoy, we can express ideas as we are now when I interact with intelligent people such as yourself. We have those ignorant people who call on who like to say that word, nigger, nigger, nigger. And I know it's a white person. I know. I'm sure you had
it's on my show one morning. You must have been listening to that show that morning.
Had
called in my show a few weeks ago, and someone called in saying that.
Yeah, and he said, that girlfriend, she's a gargoyle. Why do you say that? Because she's a nigger, nigger, nigger.
I didn't know what they were saying.
And you know, the young guy can't be more than like 20, and it's like, I want to say that we've overcome in such. We got a long way to go.
You would think that angers us. And there are some listeners of mine that were non-black that probably I know pissed them off big time. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's what you call ignorant.
I think they know better.
We try to work on race relations.
And you would, to me, to this era is just as bad as when I was coming along, Bethany. Only now we have so-called privileges or rights to go places that we didn't have rights to go to during, prior to civil rights, before they passed the civil rights law. Black people couldn't enter certain establishments, and you definitely were not welcomed in a lot of places. But now they can't deny you entrance or admittance or whatever without fear of a lawsuit. And even when they passed the civil rights thing, civil rights bill back in the 60s, a lot of businesses decided that they would go out of business rather than serve niggers. And a lot of places became private clubs to keep black
people
from coming.
Exactly, because I had a couple of interesting conversations when I were volunteering at the GOP booth last week, and one person asked me, "Well, you know why Lake Hyco closed, don't you? There's a park in my neighborhood, Russ, Hyco Park, and back in the late '60s, we had the King Edward Hotel, which I heard closed down because." Not only were blacks were only able to work there, but they were getting ready to allow blacks to be patrons there, right, Cousin Linda?
That is correct.
I heard that
he
that's
decided
why
we're
like,
he'd
hey,
go out
of business. Yeah, because I heard that it's just what you had said, rather than to segregate, to integrate, they rather close the business. And so that hotel just opened a few years ago. It was closed for, my goodness, it closed the year I was born and just opened a few years ago. So there's a park in my neighborhood that where
and
white people.
If I'm not mistaken, is the Mayflower restaurant still downtown on Capitol Street?
Uh-huh, it's still there.
Okay, when they used to run ads for help bus girls and bus boys or whatever, And back during the day, you used to be able to advertise for the kind of employee that you wanted. You could say male between the ages of 19 to 35, female, so and so and so. And when the Mayflower, and I hope I have it right. If I'm not Mayflower, I apologize. But the restaurant ad would say light-skinned Negroes only need apply.
Whoa.
Now, they could put that in the newspaper as a type of employee that they were soliciting. Light-skinned Negroes only need apply. So when people tell me, you know, well, I didn't experience that. Well, that doesn't mean that it didn't happen, and you need to know that's what happened.
That stuff still goes on today. For example, in a lot of movies, but let's pick Tyler Perry just to be evil because I don't like – I usually don't watch his movies because they glorify the step and fetch person.
Okay, Spike Lee.
Technology.
Okay,
that's
Spike
what Spike
Lee.
Said.
Spike Lee talks about Terry Pyler's movies.
Yeah, but that was in the old days when we first heard of his name. Now he's changed a little bit. Now he's coming from the church angle. What would be – okay in the church, what's wrong in the church. But basically, if you're a light-skinned black, you're still going to be the hero in his movie.
Oh,
the
I never paid attention to
bad
that.
Bad guys are going to be the dark guys. If you look at Hollywood, you'll see that kind of stuff going on in a lot of the movies.
But
the
Tyler is dark himself.
Black. Yep.
But that doesn't mean
dark
anything.
Himself.
He could be... But Bethany, he could be what we call color struck, because there was a time when dark skinned guys used to say they only dated light skinned girls, and you have a lot of brothers to this day. You know, they'll only date white women.
Yeah.
So Tyler Perry may be what we call color struck.
Yeah.
I love to hear the millionaire matchmaker talk, Patty Stanger. She can't even understand, like, when she have, like, white or non-black millionaires, they don't mind mixing their mixers with black women, and women are all races. But she said that when she have black millionaires on the Millionaire Matchmaker, they always want the typical blonde-haired, blue-eyed women at their mixers. That the black guys don't very seldom want black women in their mixers. Isn't that crazy? Mm-hmm.
That's
they want
strange.
My kids to be seen.
Yeah, non-black guys, they like a variety. But the typical black millionaire, he was on Tom Joyner talking about it and on other talk shows. She always talks about how she has so much trouble getting the black guys to want to include black women in their mixers.
But, you know, Bethany, some of that does
that's
have to
wild.
Do with guys. Men who are looking for wives.
And I like guys all races, so give me a mixture of everybody.
but
you know,
like men,
brothers, I love brothers.
Men have this
greedy.
Thing.
That's all. She's just greedy.
Men sometimes, you know, you used to think that this was what women thought about. Well, I want my child to look like this. I want my child to have light skin, curly hair, blah blah blah.
Oh,
but I didn't know that
was
so
going
prevalent.
On.
A lot of it is. I didn't know a lot of men felt that way. They want to have these so-called beautiful children, and they want their daughters to have long hair and blue eyes. You know, for whatever reason, you know, we have different preferences.
I have many black friends who have blue eyes and long hair too.
But when brothers would be trying to justify to me why they wanted any kind of woman except a black woman, and, you know, they would say all these derogatory things about black women, and I said, you know, that's really not necessary. If white women or Mexican women are your preference, that's fine, because I used to have a preference. And, Beth, you know I'm what they consider light skin. But for some strange reason, I used to like dark-skinned guys, and I would only date dark-skinned guys. Now, why I had that preference, I don't know. That's why I don't harbor.
That's always what you like, too, dark-skinned guys.
Tell them they're stronger than the regular guys. they're last longer at nighttime or something. Some sort of rumor that would make you... gravitate toward them.
this happened when I was about 13, and I noticed if a light-skinned guy would approach me or try to talk to me or want to dance with me or something, I just didn't like them. And then I noticed if the guy was dark-skinned, I thought he was so cute. He could have been the ugliest thing on the world, on the planet, but for some strange reason, he was cute to me, and that was just something that went on and on and on. And until I was about, I think, 17 or 18, Bethany, your brother-in-law, Tommy Lee, wanted me to meet his cousin, Joseph. And I said, well, how does he look? He said, the girls say he's cute. And I said, but, yeah, how does he look? And he said, well, he's tall and light-skinned. I said, I ain't interested. I don't want nothing light-skinned. No, uh-uh. And Joseph called me anyway. Tommy Lee gave him my phone number, and we talked over the phone for about a year before I would agree to meet him. I just do not like light-skinned boys. And finally, I met Joseph in person. He was nice-looking, and he was a nice guy. And we dated for about 4 years. And you know, not that,
that
it was
like
a fabulous relationship.
4 years. That's a while.
Yeah, but I don't know. I kind of turned back to brown skin and dark skin guys or whatever. But, you know, it's just a preference. I mean, if you like, you know, as brothers, if you like white women, Asian women, or what, that's fine. But, you know, you don't have to try to tear a sister down to justify
exactly
what you like.
Exactly, because I love brothers, but also I consider myself colorblind, but I'm not going to tear down the brothers. Bash brothers.
These days I think women would lose out because it's one thing if you look good, but if that's all you're offering a guy, he's not going to stay around long. But it's like if you can do stuff like, hey, she likes MMA, you know, wrestling, or she likes, archery, she likes bowling, she likes fishing, she likes mountain climbing, she does stuff. I mean, stuff that, like, a lot of guys like doing, because it's like after you finish the playtime with your normal girlfriend, you're more or less done with her. And he's like, what can I do now? You got to call your buddies. You can go out and really have fun. But when you have a girlfriend who does stuff that you like to do, I mean, when playtime's over, you're still interested in her. Mm-hmm. And so now you see why it's so easy to bounce from one woman to the other. It's like, oh, she's good looking. Yeah, she's good looking.
I love when Russ talks about playtime.
Yeah. I mean,
Russ says it's important for us to dust their playtime.
Playtime is really fun, but once playtime is over, you want to be able to do stuff. It's like, okay, now playtime's over. It's like she has no use. She just sit there and just look good. I mean, we can't go out and do nothing together. And it's like, so now she becomes
exactly
like the ball.
That's what I'm talking about at the beginning of the show when I talk with a lot of these guys who are models and strippers at clubs. Mm-hmm. A lot of times these guys want people to know that, hey, I'm a human too.
Mm-hmm. So, yep. Yeah,
you know, there's more than me.
Yeah, it's like I enjoy playtime, and it's nice that you're highly skilled, so we definitely keep you around. But it's like we still want to do stuff. You know, go out, we go out to parties, and, oh, this is so-and-so. Yeah, what'd she do? Oh, she's a model. Oh, that's nice, but what'd she do?
And you have to have some conversation, too.
You can't have a conversation because she's just pretty. She doesn't do anything else but look good. She's just like a piece of furniture that makes your house look nice when people come over. But when they sit down and enjoy it, they're like, damn, it's not comfortable, but it looks so pretty. Like,
and then people wonder when they see you like 6 months later, you show that you're married to like this average-looking woman. Like, well, what happened to the trophy?
She ain't have no substance. I mean... You gotta have that.
That's a good point.
But we don't have substance. You can bounce around from one girl to the next. Like, one week is this one, and next week is this one. Oh, this one, she was light-skinned. And, she had the curls, and that's about it. She go to school? She dropped out of high school. She had her GED. You're kidding. She was like 30. She still had a GED. That's just about it. Whereas today's woman usually has a lot more. It's like they have their master's and have their PhD. And it's the guys who are falling by the wayside as far as education is concerned.
That's true.
That's why it's like it's easy to it's more entertaining to watch today's movies when they have women in it. But it's like, oh, the bad guy's coming, and when the girl falls and twists her ankle, the old Beth twisted her ankle again. Damn. Now, Linda could split her ankle up. It's like,